on the archives of the greatest dramas in radio history, we proudly present Hollywood.
The Radio Theater, starring Olivia de Havilland and Charles Boyer in Clooney Brown. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. William Keeley.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. A book that may have eluded your attention, albeit a bestseller in its field, is a hefty volume called Modern Plumbing Illustrated. If by any remote chance you should have occasion to refer to it, you'd notice that it opens with a chapter on the kitchen sink. In fact, the kitchen sink takes precedence over laundry tubs, shower bars, hot water tanks, and cellar piping. I mention this because our play tonight is motivated not by just romantic love, but also by a love for plumbing, starting with the kitchen sink. It's 20th Century Fox's screen hit, Clooney Brown. And our stars are Charles Boyer in his original screen role and Olivia de Havilland as Clooney. Two unpredictable people who meet at the aforesaid sink and who end up, well, you'll see how as our play progresses. It takes place back in 1938. We take you now to London and act one of Clooney Brown, starring Olivia de Havilland in the title role and Charles Boyer as Adam Belinsky. Away, way back in 1938 in London, an amiable bachelor named Hilary Ames was expecting 50 guests for cocktails when a sudden bolt of disaster descended. His kitchen sink refused to drain. For an anguished hour, Mr. Ames has been waiting for a plumber. Finally,
come in, my good man. Come in.
Oh, thank you.
You oughtn't want me to spoil your Sunday, but it's sink or swim, you know.
Kitchen's right.
There you are.
Quite a mess, isn't it?
Yeah. Very interesting.
Well, there it is. Well, just don't look at it, old chap. Do something.
You want your sink fixed.
Right. Relieve the drain, relieve the strain. A bit of a parishioner.
Well, what you need is a plumber.
Right. You mean what?
Oh, unfortunately, no. No, I stopped by to call on an old friend of mine, Professor Lee.
Professor Lee's been in Scotland for months.
Oh, well,
now I am in a fix.
What about me? I'm in a fix, too.
50 deaths, including the Honorable Betty Cream, and she doesn't go everywhere, you know.
You are the most selfish man I've ever seen.
What? You don't even know me.
And already you're not interested in me. Why don't you ask me why I wanted to see Professor Lee? Why don't you say, my dear sir, is there anything I can do for you?
Well, is there?
Oh, thank heaven, I've misjudged you. My name is Adam Benice.
Hilary A.
Delighted. Still, I wish Professor Lee were here. You know what he would have said to me?
What?
Is there anything wrong with what he would have said? And I would have said with a saddened smile, no, nothing. But he would not have believed me.
Oh.
No, he would have observed how tired I am. He would have insisted on my going inside and taking a nap. You had the most charming way of forcing a 20-pound note on you. Made you feel you were doing him a favor.
A remarkable fellow. Well, if there's anything I can do, that must be the plumber. Come in.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Well,
did you have a garden?
I beg your pardon?
The Robertson's room with a sink, aren't you? Well, I'm Polly's the plumber, too, but where's Polly's the plumber?
Kicking out Holy Scotch at the cemetery. I left a note for him. Thought I'd have a crack at the sink myself.
You don't mean you're a plumber, too.
Oh, no, but I've learned a lot from Uncle Arne. He respects the conservative, if you ask me.
Conservative?
Oh, much too. Just a drop here, and it's a chair, you know. When one good bang might turn out to some dizzy. So, I'll get to work.
Oh, no, you don't. Oh, my dear Ames, where's your sense of adventure?
Please, sir. Don't let me tell.
Oh, but now, look, when you're up against a deadline, you'll have to take chances. Well, young woman?
No, what a congestion. Oh, I never thought it would be as good as this.
Your instrument, miss.
Thank you.
I hope it won't take too long. It's 4:30, you know.
Well, here it goes. Anything happen?
No, not yet.
I'm not discouraged. Monkey leg. A fuss and a twist.
A what?
And a twist.
It gurgles.
It did. Once again, then.
It's coming. Eureka.
Johnny.
My dear child.
Isn't it wonderful?
Oh, fancy.
Oh, of course, for a drink, definitely. So where are you two? I'll be right back to talk with
you. Oh, what a wonderful afternoon. My first drink and my first cocktail. Even I was in it.
Have another.
Oh, thank you. Oh, she is just lovely. I feel spirited.
Spirited?
Have you ever had spirited? I have, last Saturday. I was very upset, sucking oranges. You turned up the kitchen, you know. And all at once I said to myself, Clean Brown, you've got a pine loaf in your stocking. Why don't you have tea after it? So, I did. That's how I think come over this.
Was it a good scene?
Oh, it wasn't a scene. But the ears inside, the scene is thinking. And holding my chair for me, you'd never have thought I was out of place.
What made you think you were?
Oh, I didn't think I was. It's Uncle Arne. He's always telling me, Cleary Brown, you don't know your place. Think of your place, Cleary Brown. You ought to learn your place.
And where does Uncle Arne think your place is?
He didn't say.
Because he doesn't know.
I'm sure it's kind of fine.
I tell you where it is. Wherever you're happy, that's your place. And happiness is purely a matter of personal adjustment to one's environment. You're the sole judge.
I am.
For instance, some people like to feed nuts to the squirrels. But if it makes you happy to feed squirrels to the nuts, who am I to say nuts to the squirrels?
Oh, can I see that all over again?
Not at all. I said some people like to feed nuts.
My guest. Come in.
Aunt Forrest, Forrest at Lama.
It's Uncle Arne. Here I am, Uncle Arne. Who is it?
Looney Brown. Edward Strongdrink in your hand. What's been going on?
Oh, I assure you, Uncle Arne.
Name this, your Forrest. Giving Strongdrink to a young girl. I've offered mine.
Oh, that's Uncle Arne.
There you go again. You don't know your place. You never will know your place.
But this is my place. Just anybody's place. If you want to feed nuts to the squirrel, who wants to say, do you?
That's settled it. You're going to take that job, you are. You're leaving tomorrow for the country.
Yes, Uncle Arne.
You'll be a domestic in a decent home. You're going into service. Now come along, Looney Brown.
Yes, Uncle Arne. Goodbye, gentlemen. And thank you. Thank you for everything.
You'll take the train in the morning, Clooney. You're a very lucky girl getting took on as parlor maid and a nice house in the country.
What's the people's mind?
Sir Henry and Lady Carmel, that's who.
But what if I don't get enough to eat? What if they see me scratch and starve me down to the bay? Then can I come back from tomorrow?
They'll feed you, lad.
What if they knock me about?
They won't.
But what if they do?
Well, then, send me a line. But be sure they do.
Uncle Arne.
Hey.
Do you know why girls leave home? Girls leave home because they're thrown out, that's why. I wonder what his name was.
Hey. Oh. Oh's name.
Is. Not for the squirrel. But that's something to think about, all right. Not for the squirrel.
And believe it or not, Andrew, she fixed it. Bang, bang, and away it rained. A lady plump.
Incredible. And what happened to the chap who was looking for Professor Lee?
Oh, he's about somewhere, I suppose. I lost track of him when everybody brings him.
Hello, Betty. You've met our host, haven't you? Mr. Ring, the Honorable Billy Green.
I hope you cheered him up, Mr. The Lord and heir of the Commonwealth fortune is not such for humor.
Why, not at all. I simply can't understand cocktail parties. No offense, Billy. When Europe is on the brink, Hitler and Vienna and Prague.
Oh, I'm so tired of talk about it.
But you must realize we're on the verge of war.
Oh, stop talking and do something about it.
Well, I most definitely have. I've written a letter to the Times.
Then there's nothing to worry about. Now then, I've something interesting to tell you. I just discovered a man inside.
With the screen, the place is full of men.
This one's in bed.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
What is this? No wonder. It's that squid.
What's the matter?
Hello, that man.
Steve Belinsky.
Adam Belinsky.
You mean I should know him? Is he a dancer?
Oh, don't be an idiot. He's a great man.
It's real.
Hey, Belinsky. Adam Belinsky.
Yes.
He's a writer. A professor of Prague. One of Hitler's worst enemies.
You mean a Nazi doctor?
Certainly. Look at him. Exactly like his picture. Better, in fact. Nobler. Much nobler.
He's smart.
What difference does that make? He's a great liberal. That man's right, Norma says.
So do I. Well, I don't. And I'm as liberal as either of you.
Excuse me. See, we've waited a minute.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, it's all right. You can trust us. I'm Andrew Carmel.
Oh, how do you do?
And I'm Betty Quinn.
You see? Oh, yes, you are honorable and you don't go everywhere.
Oh, we don't mean to pry, but you're in trouble, aren't you, Professor?
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, unless a miracle happens, I'm a man without a home. You see, my landlady...
Oh, that beast, that terrible beast, Hitler.
I wonder if I've made myself clear.
Oh, perfectly. And we must do something exactly.
Gentlemen, I'm afraid you are a little confused.
Oh, I know we are. There's so much muddle thinking.
I have an idea. Let's scram out of here.
It's step in the right direction.
Well, oh, of course, oh boy, under the circumstances and all. But, where will you go?
Yes,
where? Some place to stay. Any suggestions, please?
Well, I should say the Ritz is a good, safe place. I mean, you could talk things over anyway.
Splendid. Let's go.
Sorry, Hillary. Wonderful party, but, well, you understand.
Well, this is my lodging house. Thank you for a delightful evening. You see, I've never been to the Ritz before.
Oh, it's been a privilege, Professor. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Gummel.
Good night.
Oh, Professor.
Yes?
Excuse me, Betty. Professor, I beg your pardon for bringing this up again, but
Well, since you have honored us with your confidence.
Yes?
Well, I feel that the £20 you were gracious enough to accept for me is most inadequate. Here, please take this.
No. My dear friend, you mustn't press me any further. I insist.
I understand, Professor. I'm sorry.
However, should I need 30 additional pounds, you will give it to me and nobody else.
That's a promise?
My word of honor.
Oh, thank you, sir. I'll telephone you tomorrow.
If you like. Good night.
Good night, Professor. Daddy.
Yes?
I'm sorry, darling, but I'll not be having lunch with you tomorrow.
No.
No. Tomorrow I'm driving down to the country. I stopped to see Father about Professor Belinsky. And so, to get to the point, Father, I'm inviting a guest here.
Good.
Mother?
Of course, dear.
Now, he's in great danger. Oh, he won't admit it, but he is. He must get out of London.
Good heavens, what's he done?
What hasn't he done? He's fighting for a new and better world.
Whatever for?
What for? Father, haven't you heard of the Nazis?
Oh, yes, German chaps. Always wanted to see one. Send him down by all means.
Father, he isn't a Nazi. He fights Nazis.
Believe me, England won't be safe until we produce our own Belinsky.
What the devil are Belinskys?
What are Belinskys?
Oh, I give up.
Now, don't go all to pieces, dear. If England must produce Belinskys, why, we'll produce Belinskys.
Belinsky is the man's name. Professor Adam Belinsky.
Oh, well... We'll be glad to make his weekend as pleasant as possible.
But this isn't a matter of a pleasant weekend. It's a matter of life and death. Well, you may have to stay here permanently.
Permanently? A total stranger? Now, look here, Edward.
But, Father, he sacrificed everything. He hasn't any money. Oh, Mother, I'm sure you'll understand. Now, I'm depending upon you to be very kind to him. Well, I've got to get back to London.
You just got here.
Betty Cream?
Of course not. Betty Cream is entirely too superficial to be concerned about in times like these. Well, I'll see you as soon as I can. Goodbye.
Oh,
goodbye, Father.
Oh, dear, I wish you were more interested in Betty.
Nice girl. Fits a horse well. Why doesn't he marry her and have done with it?
Dear Uncle Ann, I am writing to you on the thing that is carrying me out of your life and into my new career as parlor maid. There is a nice old gentleman across to me and his dog, Robert. His gentleman says he will have a car waiting for him at the station, and he will drive me to Sir Henry Carmel's residence. He says any friend of theirs is a friend of his. So, Virginia, Queenie.
What did you say, Henry?
Miss Brown. Colonel Graham just got her off. Well, aren't you going upstairs?
But I don't know any Miss Brown.
Oh, of course you do. Of course you do. You just don't remember.
Andrew, there's a little said Mr. Belinsky. But do you suppose you could have meant Miss Brown?
Possibly. Oh, you'll remember once you get a look at her. It's one of those relatives of yours, probably.
Well, I'll have to search her too, anyway.
Colonel seemed quite fond of her. Wants us to bring her over there tomorrow night.
Hello, Miss Brown. It really doesn't matter.
Then, shall we say Lemon?
Well, I used to put Miss, but... I'll cry, Lemon.
Oh, well, then, look, by all means.
Sugar? Oh, I don't think so.
Are you quite sure?
Well, if you don't mind, sir, please.
Try a crumpet.
Oh, thank you. You know, I think this is going to be anything like this. And I've never seen such beautiful flowers.
Hear that, Alice? She works in it from morning till night. It's her empire.
Maybe you'll let me help you.
Of course, my dear.
I'm so glad you like flowers. You're much nicer than I thought. I didn't think you'd be nice at all.
You didn't.
I was even afraid for myself. Instead, here I am having two with milk and four lumps and crumpets. Here, I'll have another.
Good heavens, child, have them all.
You won't feel sorry. I'm going to do everything to please you, even if sitting. How's it coming?
Plummy.
I only switched one of your pipes, Luke. I could fix it.
By God.
Miss Brown, I suppose you've known Colonel Graham a long time. I know. We just get on the train, but I feel as if I've known him ever so long. I'm going to have a puppy.
You're going to have a what?
A puppy. From the Colonel.
Jupiter.
You see, it's the first time he's ever given one of Roddy's away. I promise I won't let it interfere with my work.
Your work?
Yes. Well, I'll see you down. You fix it. The emergency set me. Do you fix it? I'm going to be night.
Oh, I see. You
thought I was going to be nice, didn't you? I'm sorry.
Oh, nonsense. You don't drive me to you.
Yes, of course.
That's it.
Yes,
Lady. So that's just the clean down and you made.
No,
now don't get fresh. But it isn't cleaning. We hope you'll be happy here and stay with us a long time.
Thank you, Lady.
Well, sir, how's it progressing? The new parlor maid.
It's a little difficult to determine so soon, sir, but I've decided to let her assist at dinner, sir.
Good, good. Now, about what's his name? The chap Andrew sent us from London.
The professor, he'll be downstairs immediately, sir.
I say, Alice, what's his name again?
Oh, dear, I keep forgetting, too. So many foreigners have foreign names, don't they?
If I may make a suggestion, sir, think of the fur, Kolinsky.
Of course. Professor Kolinsky.
And now substitute B for Coal, Belinsky for Kolinsky and the habit, sir.
Simple, isn't it? Professor, what's the name of that fur again?
Professor Belinsky.
Oh, Professor, how nice to see you.
And you're very kind of you, Dunnell. How do you do, sir?
How do you do? Have a glass of sherry. Don't you like your room?
Oh, most excellent room.
Good. Comfortable bed, too. Oh, there's a nightingale under your window.
Oh, you shouldn't have gone to so much trouble.
Not at all.
Professor, you're most welcome here for as long as you care to stay.
How very hospitable you are, but I don't feel I should accept until you know more about me.
Oh, Andrew has told us all about you.
And about this nasty business, you don't have to worry with Constable Birkins around.
Well, what really worries me right now is the lack of the dinner guest.
Dinner is served,
milady. Sir Henry, I couldn't bear to face you in a lounge suit across the dinner table.
Nonsense. Wore a lounge suit myself once at dinner. In Naples, went slumming, didn't want to talk to natives.
How simple and charming you make effort.
Are you
now,
Mr. Kitty?
Now, and mind that you hold the mutton chatter properly.
Oh, yes, sir.
Stop leaping about. You will serve Sir Henry, sir.
Ah, here we are. Mutton from our own sheep, Valencia.
Really?
What?
Think of that picture, Amy. This one is much better.
What?
Because it's in a spot. And it's bigger and brown.
Well, I never.
Well, I'll help you, sir.
No, thank you, Miss Barney, if you don't mind.
A maid shooting the mutton for me. Outrageous. Preposterous.
You'll be dismissed immediately,
sir. No, one moment, Sir Henry. You took the piece of mutton to suggest it. Why?
Well, because the other piece had a blob of fat on it.
And this one is brown and leaner and bigger.
But hang it all, Valencia, just isn't done.
What a pity. Does it occur to you, sir, that for generations the lords of Carmel have probably eaten the wrong pieces of mutton?
Oh, that's a very interesting way of looking at it. Besides, Henry, it's so difficult to get domestics to come to the country.
Well, she needn't have dropped the whole platter and insulted my friend. What is it you said to you?
Nuts to the squirrels.
Doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. It should be squirrels to the nuts. But...
Well, much too deep for me, Belinsky.
If I may say so, milady, the sooner the young woman is dismissed, the better.
Oh, Monsieur Stewart, I know that as a guardian of English tradition, Miss Brown has offended your sensibilities, but permit me to quote someone to whom everything English was also dear. The quality of mercy is not strange. It droppeth as a gentle rain from heaven. Lady Dalmel, Sir Henry, allow me to raise my glass to Shakespeare.
Here, Shakespeare.
We'll give her another chance, sir.
Thank you, Lady Dalmel.
Clooney. May I come in, Clooney? Hello, Clooney. Oh, I'm so sorry I upset you at dinner tonight.
Oh, do you see, Mr. Belinsky?
Forgive me for calling on you at this hour. I would have paid my respects sooner, but I had some difficulty locating your room. Now, for heaven's sake, how did you get here?
You remember my uncle, don't you?
Oh, yes, that's right. He did speak of sending you into service.
No, Mr. Belinsky!
Oh, now, Clooney.
But I don't want to be a name.
What about me, Clooney? I'm a city man. I love crowds and traffic and smoke in my lungs. What have I got? A big mouth nightingale right under my window.
Oh, it's good to talk to someone who's out of place, too.
Yes, Jenny, talk to me at any time. Open your heart to me.
Ditto. Oh, Mr. Green.
That's right, Jenny. Put your head on my shoulder. There. Now, there.
Oh. Oh, please forgive me.
For what?
For taking advantage of you. I think you're the king of me. It's as if you were my type and leaving me wrong.
Sure I'm not. You were just happy to find a friend here, and so am I. Well, we must go on being friends. And as we are not our type, that should be easy.
You're not too much of an abusive talent. Something's all set to rest you.
Yes, that's right, Clooney, but you know how it is on a desert island. You wait and wait, and then you don't wait anymore. Clooney Brown, let's admit it, we're in danger. Oh, today we are not our type. But as time passes, well, we might not look so bad to each other. And if we remain here long enough, who knows?
Oh, no. No, that must never happen, Mr. Belinsky. You must never become the victim of my circumstances. And if you should ever feel romantic for me, don't hesitate. Just kiss me.
Good. Let us kick each other.
It's a pot. You'll sit down.
Excellent.
Ah,
I feel so much better. How lucky I was to meet you at Mr. Ryan's kitchen sink. Oh, I wish I were back there right now. I wish I could roll up my sleeves and unloosen the drawing. Bang, bang, bang.
Yes, Jenny. Well, I think I'll go to my room now and let the nightingale bang me to sleep. Good night, Jenny.
Good night, Mr. Venusi.
In a moment, we'll return with Act Two of Clooney Brown, starring Charles Boyer and Olivia de Havilland.
At military and experimental airfields all over the world, espionage agents observe. They watch and record the flights in and out of the field, and they observe, as much as they can, the performances of new planes and weapons, and they listen to the voices of the people who work inside and talk outside about classified information. The outcome of wars in the course of world history has changed because people who should have known better talk.
Of Clooney Brown, starring Charles Boyer as Belinsky and Olivia de Havilland as Clooney. For 3 weeks, Clooney Brown has pursued her career as a parlourmaid on the country estate of Sir Henry Carmel, where Adam Belinsky is installed as a somewhat permanent guest. Now, on a pleasant afternoon, Adam and Clooney negotiate a chance meeting in the village.
Clooney!
Why, Mr. Belinsky! In the village.
Oh, just a walk, Clooney, but look at you. Violets on your shoulders, roses on your cheeks, and a whole garden of a hat on your head. What's the occasion?
My afternoon off, from 3 to 7.
Oh, that's perfect, Clooney. 4 hours, all to ourselves.
Ah, I was awfully sweet of you, Mr. Belinsky, but, well, something has happened.
What?
Well, what would you think if a gentleman invited you to tea, and to meet his mother, too?
Well, I wouldn't go.
But I've already accepted. It's the tenth, Mr. Winston.
Hmm.
So excited to meet a man surrounded by hundreds and hundreds of bottles, and every one is a month or death. Mr. Wilson is going to get so excited, he'll let me watch him make up a description.
Yes, Junie, it looks as if your sheep are stunning. Have a good time, my dear.
Goodbye, Mr. Wilson. I hope you enjoy your walk.
This is the parlor, Miss Brown.
Oh, Mr. Wilson. What an elegant room.
Yes. It's not Buckingham Palace, but it's Wilson's little castle.
You know, Sister Wilson, the way I look?
Eh?
Up there, my hat.
Well, I don't object to it myself, Miss Brown, but Mother might think it a little frivolous.
Oh, well, I'll take it off then. Well,
thank you.
Mr. Wilson, what if I were to come in and shop for a prescription?
I'll hear the tinkle bell on the shop door. Well then, Miss Brown, you might enjoy this. A nap. Of our entire valley.
Just look at it.
Yes. Now, here on the map is where we are this very moment. And this is where I intend to remain the rest of my life. In this very house.
Ah. But what if the house falls down?
It won't. You may have observed the lightning rod on the roof. Milton's imperial pinpoint. The very best. However, if a blaze should occur, it may reassure you to know that I am chief of the Friars Carmel Volunteer Fire Department.
Oh, Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
It will be on the fire to see you in action.
Thank you, Miss Brown. Now I shall call my mother. Mother? Mother? Mother's been resting. Ah, here she comes. Mother? Miss Brown.
How do you do, Mrs. Wilson?
Your chair, Mother. And now, Miss Brown, I shall play something on the harmonium.
Oh, Mr. Wilson, is there anything you'd like to?
You shall have your choice. Sweet Alice Benbow or Play Gently, Sweet Aspen.
Oh, they're both so beautiful.
Then shall we say Sweet Alice? And maybe the flow gently for an encore?
Oh,
afraid I'll have to leave you at the crossroads, Miss Brown. Not as I'd like to go further. But Mother's taken a great liking to you.
Yes, sir. Oh, I hope so. She didn't say anything. That is, apart from killing her throat.
Mother, those words on Saturday.
Oh, look. Hello, Mr. Belushi.
Hello,
Jenny
Brown.
Who's
talking
to what? This is Mr. Wilson. Mr. Belushi.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do?
Mr. Belushi is staying at Charles Conwell. Mr. Belushi is William Lady Conwell.
Oh, I understand your surprise, Mr. Wilson. A guest is not ordinarily aware of the existence of a maid.
Exactly, sir.
Well, you see, at Fayot Jamel, we are very proud of our Looney and interested in her welfare, and above all, in her friends.
Oh, no, sir.
Oh, the Squirtle for seven. Oh, I really must move along. Thank you for a wonderful afternoon, Mr. Wilson.
Good evening, Miss Brown. A very worthy young lady.
Yes. I'd like a word with you, Wilson.
I am at your disposal, sir.
Mr. Wilson, I presume that you have weighed your intentions to Miss Brown as carefully as you weigh the contents of a pill.
I assure you, sir, I am not the sort who would invite a young lady to tea merely to while away an afternoon.
Well, I must admit I was worried about Jim, but you have relieved my fears. Mr. Wilson, you couldn't have prescribed the better sedatives on yourself.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Not at all. Good night.
Good night, sir.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes, sir.
Just something more. You don't drink, do you?
Oh, no, sir.
Good. Good night, Mr. Wilson.
You want a hot supper bottle, Mr. Belushi?
Oh, yes. Sit down, please.
Thank you. How do you like, Mr. Wilson? The present I sit with around?
Listen. Our day is an ocean, and on the ocean is a boat, riding the storm and battling the billows. That's not Mr. Wilson. But in a quiet harbor, there is a freighter. Its engine is turned off. No smoke comes out of its funnel. Nothing could ever budge it. Neither wind nor waves. That's Mr. Wilson.
Oh, I'm so glad you like him. This afternoon, for the first time, I really felt what it must be like to really have a taste. And then his mother started to snore. I got all freaked up.
You like that?
You see, I'm an orphan, and I've never heard my mother snore.
Well, you're happy now? That's all that matters.
Well, Mr. Valinsky, I'm sure your ship will come in too someday.
Don't worry about my ship. I'm a good swimmer.
Oh, you have water bottles.
Oh, thank you.
That's you, Mr. Valinsky. Good night.
Professor Valinsky.
Pleasure.
Well, I decided quite suddenly to drive down.
Tell me, Andrew, how are you?
Oh, better now that I'm out of London.
And how is Vicky Tree?
Oh, I never want to hear that woman's name again. She's impossible. Oh. Self-centered and idiotic. Uh-huh. Now tell me, what's been going on? I've neglected you shamefully. Have you noticed anything that looks like a Nazi?
There is a cow on your father's pasture that's given me a nasty look once or twice, but...
Oh, won't you ever be serious? Professor, from now on, I'm devoting my undivided attention to you.
Oh, if you would only listen, Andrew. I've tried to tell you so many times. I'm merely another refugee. I'm not in any danger.
You're not in danger.
Well, naturally, I am.
Well, that's more like it.
But so are you, the whole world, everyone.
Yes, but everyone's not Adam Belinsky.
Of course, I had a bad time of it until I obtained them. And mind you, I may have a bad time of it again if they ever publish my book.
Well, what's holding it up?
Publishers.
What a cad. I'm going to write another letter to the Times.
Yes.
No, I'll join the RAF.
That's better. John Garriott, rise above the time.
Well, not much point sitting here, is there? Let's drive on home. Hello?
What's
that, Vicky?
Yes?
What's he doing here?
Riding a horse? She's here for the weekend.
Well, why didn't you tell me?
What do you care? You told me she was impossible.
Debbie, why did you come here?
Invited me.
Well, have you forgotten that row we had last night?
Did you have a row? I don't remember.
We had a row all London's talking about. You haven't even the decency to acknowledge it.
Sorry, darling. I'll do better next time.
That's getting a heavy, though, boy.
One day, some man's going to marry that girl. Decent step, probably, for the poor girl. Well, there's only one thing I can say for her.
You think the horse?
Well,
Andrew, we're surprised to see you.
He made that quite clear.
Nice fellow, Andrew.
You've come to my room to tell me about Andrew.
No, to talk to you about Toon Brown.
Toon Brown?
I suppose you have not even noticed her.
Who do you think unpacked your three suitcases, two hat boxes, and one overnight suit? Harry? No? Is it?
Millie Brown.
Yes. And Tony Brown would like to have evening off to attend a birthday celebration. Now, Mrs. Mary, the housekeeper, and Mr. Stewart, the butler, are willing to excuse her.
Then everything's settled, isn't it?
Not quite. You see, Miss Brown has been assigned as your personal maid. Now, the question arises, Miss Crane, can you get in and out of your clothes without breaking your neck?
That I don't know.
Try it, will you, my little lamb, my sweet? And if you should break your perfect neck, just get it to me.
And if you promise not to come, Miss Brown may have a whole evening off.
Thank you, Miss Crane.
A pleasure, Mr. Valencia.
I said evening is yours, Junie. Enjoy it.
Oh, Mr. Valencia. You see, it's not only Mrs. Wilson's birthday, but things can start at happening.
Why, Junie?
Yes, they have. Mr. Wilson has spoken to his mother about me.
Oh, I'm sure she approves of you.
Well, anyway, to get it for now, she just said, That's what he told me.
That's very encouraging.
And the Mr. Wilson asked us to meet him, to look at her, and everybody, and they all...
He asked you?
That's just it. He might ask me tonight. That's the thing.
I see. So romantic, Junie.
Mr. Valencia, I can't tell you.
Tell me what?
But I had a dream last night. About you.
Come, you did?
Oh, you don't know how wonderful you looked in that dress. And how you rode that black rider and stallion. Really? You just burned up the sand, and you swept me up off the desert and set me right in front of you on the saddle. My, did we get a horse well?
Tell me, that get you to my tent, Junie? That's the usual procedure, isn't it?
You were taking me somewhere, but just in time, I remembered our pact.
Our pact? Oh, yes.
So I took myself.
Oh, and took the stick right out of the dream.
Mr. Delicious, do we go down to your tent?
No, Prunie, you did the right thing. I have no tent. Not on the desert, nor anywhere. Well, turn along, Prunie. Good luck.
Thank you, Mr. Delicious.
Miss Payne.
Oh, Professor
Benicio. Miss Payne, what does one do with a woman like you?
One gets out of my room, Professor. Especially at this hour of the night, I was about to go to sleep.
A good beating. That's what I ought to give you. A good beating.
Think it over, will you? But nothing more. Or would you like me to scream?
Why are you so vicious to my friend Andrew? Tonight after dinner, you did nothing but...
Oh, this time it's about Andrew. Well, so it isn't a personal cause.
Oh, Miss Payne, you hold no attraction for me whatever. None.
Really? Then why is your hair so carefully combed? And why do you smell like a perfume salesman? Well?
Yes, it is amazing. Well, that's very interesting. You know, I could have sworn I came in here for no other reason than to speak for a friend. Now, is it possible that when I reached for the brilliantine, way down deep in my subconscious, I was reaching for something else? Betty, I am beginning to doubt my motive.
I wish to get up, and I don't mean subconsciously.
Why are you so nasty to
me? I assume.
Wake up the whole house. Don't you ever think of any...
What happened anyway?
It's all right, Philip. Apparently, there's nothing more than a dream. You may go.
Good night, Milady.
Good night, Mrs. Milady. Good night,
Milady. Where's Betty?
She's in her room, Andrew. She's perfectly all right.
What happened, Professor? It was all my fault, Andrew. I was looking for the bathroom and I mistook the door.
I'm so sorry.
Well,
I heard my door open and I thought it was a burglar, so I didn't mean what an exquisite evening. Well, good night, Professor.
Good night, Edith Carmel. My profoundest regret. Good night, Andrew.
Andrew, I want you to promise me to go straight to bed, please.
I insist upon speaking with Professor Valencia.
Won't the morning do just as well, Andrew?
Very well, then, the morning. You see, I don't believe a word of what you've just said.
Good gracious. May I come in, my dear?
Of course, Lady Connell.
You know, Bessie, you ought to get married.
Yes, Lady Connell.
Are you going to marry Andrew?
Yes, Lady Connell.
Then I think you should tell him so. Because you're getting close.
Yes, Lady Connell. And thank you.
Good night, my dear. Oh, did you let me read?
No, thank you. Besides, I don't think she's home. Something about your birthday party, I believe.
Goodness, it must have been quite a party.
Yes. I hope you're satisfied, Miss Brown.
But Mr. Wilson...
All our guests have gone. And just as Mother was about to blow out her birthday candle.
I still don't understand what I did that was so wrong.
For one thing, Miss Brown, the word P-L-U-N-D-I-N-G is not mentioned in mixed company, let alone at Mother's birthday.
But it's right. It's flooding the bathroom.
Miss Brown.
And I thought I was being so well-protected to it. When I did fix it, how could it sound?
We can't discuss it any further tonight, Miss Brown. It's at all.
Yes, Mr. Wilson. Good night. Good night, Mrs. Wilson.
In a moment, we'll return to the third act of Cluny Brown, starring Olivia de Havilland and Charles Boyer.
The first description or definition of leisure in the Webster Dictionary is freedom afforded by exemption from occupation or business. Well, there isn't a man serving the armed forces today who doesn't have a certain amount of leisure time. What is done with that time is up to the individual. But here is a suggestion that may come in handy. Why not take a course, or a group of courses, through the United States Armed Forces Institute? There are over 6,000 to choose from, elementary, high school, college, or technical. The choice is yours. How about discussing it with your education officer?
Back to your producer, William Keeley.
Act 3 of Cluny Brown, starring Charles Boyer as Belinsky and Olivia de Havilland in the title role. It's been a bad night for both Cluny Brown and Adam Belinsky. Cluny's propensity for plumbing has shattered her budding romance with Mr. Wilson, the chemist, while Adam's brave attempt to smooth the path of love for Andrew Carmel and Betty Queen likewise has fizzled sadly. It's a solemn-faced Adam who faces Andrew's father at the breakfast table. Mr.
I want a word with you. Sit down, have some breakfast.
No, thank you. I don't feel like breakfast today.
Have you seen Andrew?
No, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to.
You're in for a surprise. He'll bowl you over.
Really?
Belinsky, he's not a boy anymore. Two-fisted man, overnight, scared the wind out of there.
Oh.
Know who did it? That fellow you're running away from.
What fellow?
Well, what's his name? Hitler.
Good heavens. What else happened last night? Was war declared?
Oh, no. But Andrew thinks it will be. That's why he barged into my room this morning and said, I'm joining the RAF. Never spoke to me like that in his life.
Oh, the RAF. Well, I think I'll have some breakfast after all.
I say, Belinsky, this talk about war, all poppycock, isn't it?
No, Sir Henry. I know Hitler.
Written a book, hasn't he? Well, what more does he want?
If you really want to know, Sir Henry, read the book.
It's sort of an outdoor book, isn't it? What's it called? Oh, yes, My Camp.
Yes. Sort of an outdoor book. The old German idea of sport. Sir Henry, there will be a war. It's inevitable.
Well, then I'm glad Andrew's joining up. We'll see this thing through, Belinsky. We'll show that blighter.
You're getting angry, Sir Henry.
Good.
Stay angry, and everything will be all right.
Oh, good morning, Professor.
Good morning, Lady Carmel. Good morning, Miss Dean.
Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
Have you heard the good news about Andrew and Betty? You may congratulate us if you like. We're going to be married.
Imagine it, Belinsky. All this went on last night. We slept through it like a couple of days.
Yes. Well, I wish you all happiness. You're both very lucky. And now I have an announcement. I'm leaving.
Who's leaving?
Well, really, I must get back to London.
Well, you'll come right back, won't you?
I wish I could, Sir Henry.
Well, hang it all. Took me quite some time to learn to say, Belinsky, and now that I can, deeply selfish of you, old man.
Professor?
Yes, Andrew?
I still insist upon a word with you.
Yes. Talk to him, Andrew. He can't leave us. Tell him what's wrong.
I intend to. If you don't mind, Professor, well, I do. Well, Andrew, about last night. I'm not a child. You were not looking for the bathroom door.
You don't believe it, eh?
I didn't believe it last night, and I don't believe it now.
I don't believe it either. But if I should tell you, I went into Miss Chin's room last night to talk about you. Would you believe that?
Would you?
No, but I did.
Professor, I have great respect for you as a writer, as a man of principle.
Thank you.
But I'm going to knock you down. Sorry.
Well, let's get it over with.
Wait a minute. How much do I owe you?
It doesn't matter.
But it does matter. If anything should happen to you, I want to be sure of how much I owe you. Now, let's see. You lent me £20 in London, £4 yesterday.
Oh, forget it.
What kind of a man do you think I am?
Are we going to have this out or aren't we?
Indeed we are. But I want you to know that I'm fighting under a handicap. You hate a man who lent me £24 may throw me up badly.
Are you ready?
Yes. Now, I know. I think you ought to know that I was once lightweight champion of all Czechoslovakia.
And I think you should know I was middleweight champion of all Oxford and Cambridge.
You didn't think, eh?
Pretty warm, isn't it?
Rather. Oh, it's no use. Can I trust you to wait here?
Where are you going?
Never mind where I'm going. But if you know what's good for you, be there when I come back. Betty.
Andrew, what are you doing? You just got me out of the gym.
I'm sorry, Betty, but it doesn't concern you. You've got to trust me. Now, please.
But if I trust you now, I'll always have to trust you. And I'm sure I won't. It's a gun, isn't it? That's what you're hiding behind your back, a gun.
Does this look like a gun?
Oh, darling, it's only money.
And I suppose you'll think it's absurd of me to lend the professor £50.
Absurd? Give him $100, $200. Oh, and I thought you were going to shoot him.
Well, maybe I ought to. After all, walking into your room like
Thank heaven he did. If I hadn't screamed last night, we wouldn't be in bed today.
Oh, you're so right, Jessie. I've said it before and I'll say it again.
What England needs is more Belinsky.
You sent for me, sir?
Yes, sir. I'm leaving.
Oh, indeed, sir.
You know, I will miss you, sir. And so will my wants, but you brought glamour into its crowded life.
Thank you, sir.
You increased and increased its self-respect. You gave it hope. Thank you, sir. I'd like to give you this.
Oh, thank you, sir.
And if you don't mind, you've got an envelope this for Mrs. Mayer.
Yes, sir.
Where's Sue Brown? I have a little something for her.
I'm afraid Brown is in this post, but she hasn't left her room this morning.
Oh, nothing serious.
Oh, no. Mrs. Mayer tells me the birthday party last night was a bit too much for her.
Oh.
But I can call her.
No.
I'm sure it's all right.
No, it's better like this. Will you be kind enough to give her this little package? And tell her, please, that I'm so happy her ship is coming. And that I wish her bon voyage with all my heart.
Bon voyage, yes, sir.
And should she ever feel unhappy, tell her just to close her eyes and say, squirrels to the nuts. You remember that, won't you?
If she's ever unhappy, nuts to the squirrels.
No. Squirrels to the nuts.
Squirrels to the nuts. Very good.
Thank you. Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye, Professor Billy.
Really? Oh, Mr. Belinsky. How did you say this again?
Why should you be afraid of that?
Because I wanted to thank you. Not so stockings, Mr. Belinsky. Oh, they are beautiful.
I'm glad you like them.
How did you think about me? You might never see such a thing.
Yes, I know, Junie.
It's kind of awful to think of.
Yes, it is awful. How is Mr. Wilson?
Why are you doing better, Mr. Belinsky?
Was he sick?
No, he was upset about his mother.
Ah, what's the matter with her?
Oh, he was upset about me. Mr. Belinsky, I distressed myself last night.
Clooney.
You know what plumbing does to me. I just can't get my hands off it. So I don't blame Mr. Wilson. No, just don't blame Thomas.
Oh, you mean then it's all over?
Mm-hmm.
You and Mr. Wilson?
Well, you think so, would you? But it isn't. He can't tell me the same.
Oh.
He's got to ask his mother to give me another chance. Didn't let Jenny have him. Yes, I might still be Mrs. Mr. Wilson. But he's about to hit the right on pipe strong enough.
Well, the train is leaving, Clooney.
Yes. So, goodbye, Mr. Belinsky.
Get on the train.
What?
Get on the train.
But, Mr. Belinsky. Mr. Belinsky.
Yes, Clooney?
Where are we going?
General delivery, London.
General delivery? Are you expecting a letter?
Always. That's what's so wonderful about general delivery. Let us pour into it. Millions of them from all parts of the world.
I've never thought of that. Oh, you do make one see things, Mr. Belinsky.
Among all those letters, there might be one for us. Mind you, it might be very disappointing, but it also might be very encouraging. It might come from America.
Mr. Belinsky, you sound as though you like me.
Clooney, if I were rich, I would build for you the most beautiful mansion with the most exquisite and complicated plumbing. And right in the middle of the most elegant housewarming party, I would hand you a hammer and a monkey wrench, and I would say, ladies and gentlemen, Madame Clooney Belinsky is about to put the pipes in their place.
Madame Belinsky.
Clooney, never again are you going to have to serve 3 meals a day. On the other hand, you may not have 3 meals a day. Sometimes, maybe only one.
And sometimes, maybe only none. I don't care. As long as we eat it together, Mr. Belinsky.
Just for that, we're going to have 3 meals a day. With hors d'oeuvre and champagne and snacks in between. You know what you've done to me, Clooney?
What?
I was going to write a book. Morality versus Expediency. Well, with luck, I might have made barely enough money for myself. But now, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write a bestseller. A murder mystery.
A murder mystery? What's it going to be about?
A murder. A man gets murdered.
Who's man?
A rich man.
Oh, yes. There's no use murdering a poor man.
Oh, all right, you are. You see how well we work together?
Who killed him? Who did it?
For 360 pages, I will not know myself. But when on page 361 finally comes out, how will I be surprised? And so will millions of others. Clooney, this book will make enough money for both of us.
But Mr. Belinsky, what if there should be 3 others?
Well, then I'll write a sequel. But why limit ourselves? I'll write a serial.
Oh, Mr. Belinsky, how do you think I'm going to have much time for plumbing?
Mother. Just saying, Professor Belinsky's new book.
That's love. By Jove, they've been sold out for weeks.
What's the name of it again?
The Nightingale Murder, by Adam Belinsky.
Where have you been, darling?
I just took the doctor's here.
Ah, did you fix his plumbing?
You know what he said? No more steam and all the animals for you, he said.
Uh-huh.
You mean...
Uh-huh.
Why, Colonel Belinsky, excuse me, my darling.
What are you doing?
The Nightingale Strikes Again by Adam Belinsky.
We take our leave of Sooner Brown and welcome our stars of the footlights for a curtain call. Olivia de Havilland and Charles Boyer. He's given us a most delightful hour.
Thank you, Bill. I really enjoyed being Sooner Brown.
Does that mean you have a yen for plumbing, Olivia?
No, sir. The only bathroom fixture that I understand is soap. Good night.
Good night, and thanks again for Sooner Brown. This is William Hughes, saying good night to you from Hollywood.